Thank you so much, Josh. Well, it's not often I'm out of breath from doing dancing in fancy dress when I start doing a talk. So you're going to have to forgive me. I just want to ask you guys at the back, do you want me to go on the top stage for this bit or to stay here? You up to me? Okay, we'll have to cut that bit out of what goes on YouTube. Never mind. Brilliant. Okay, so real opportunity this morning for a time of reflection. And certainly the Christmas family celebration has lifted up, has come through to the title, hasn't it? It's really fulfilled what we wanted it to do. It's a brilliant celebration together, and it was great. At the beginning, I was like, gosh, you know, it doesn't feel like there's many people here. And then we realized that, like, that was because about 60 or 70 of them were the children. And when they all arrived en masse, it was just such a beautiful thing to see. Can I ask you a question now? Are you all ready for Christmas? Oh, there's a couple of nonchalant shrugs and also a great look of fear and panic emanating from the room at that stage. And I love Christmas, and I love Christmas especially like looking at it through the eyes of children, as those of us with children have the privilege of doing in our families, but also through what we've done this morning and seeing the look on the kids' faces, and as the camera went across them and they were practicing so hard to do the actions and trying really hard to not be distracted by us next to them, and just to see the excitement that they have. It reminds me of a story I heard about a child, and this child's name was Billy. And Billy was taken to see Santa. And by Santa, I don't mean like Santa at a shopping centre or someone like that. I mean the real Santa. Okay, you can write letters in later to discuss that point. But the real Santa. And Santa said to him, ho, 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 ho. What's your Christmas wish, Billy? And Billy said, I'd really like a dragon, please. And Santa said, ho, 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 ho. I'm sorry, Billy, but dragons aren't real. Can I give you another wish? And Billy said, yeah, okay. I'd like Shrewsbury Town to win all four of their festive fixtures, please. And Father Christmas went, ho, ho, ho. Shrewsbury Town, remind me, Billy, what colour did you want your dragon? And I can say that with every level of confidence because of a recent run of good form. So it works at every level. There was another story of a child. For the sake of the story, we'll call him Billy. And it's really hard because there are so many kids in the church, as you've seen. You can't pick a name that one of them has. And I'm pretty sure we don't have a Billy, do we? Do we? I don't think we do. So I'm going to stick with a safe name for now. He was talking to his dad about Christmas and about how he wanted to write a letter to Santa. And his dad said, you know what, Billy? Like, we're Christians. And so, like, we can pray to God and he can, fulfill our needs and looks after us. So why don't you think about praying about it? So Billy thought to himself, that sounds really, really sensible. So he knelt down at the end of his bed and he prayed like this. He prayed, thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming at Christmas. Thank you for sharing your love. Please help people in the world who are less fortunate than me. And I would really like a new bike. Amen. And his dad said, whoa, 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 Billy, hold on a minute. God's not deaf. Why are you shouting? And Billy looked at him and said, yeah, Dad, I know that God's not deaf, but Granddad is. I strongly recommend we've reached the stage where we need to call us to order and open the Bible together. So shall we do that now? We are in Luke in chapter 2. A normal talk is about half an hour long, and people tend to have like 3 points, don't they, roughly? Well, if I've got about 10 minutes this morning, and I've already spent 2 of those telling you jokes about dragons and stuff, so this is going to be a 1-point sermon, okay? So this is a 1-point sermon, and it will also be very clear at the time what that point is. But we're going to open up in Luke 2 and from verse 8. And Jules has already, and the smaller children have already given us the whole nativity story using felt in a way that brings it to life, in a way that I'm going to struggle to do it justice to. But we're just going to look at a small portion of that. And we're going to read from the scriptures. So Luke 2 and from verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace on those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they'd seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they'd heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Familiar words for many of us. But I find every Christmas there's different parts of the story, or there's different passages, different events, different statements that leap out and come alive in a fresh way. There's not like, it's not quite learning new things, because for many of us we will have heard this before, but it's like, what's God really speaking to us about it this year? There's so much in this part of the passage that I could bring out. The local working class people, these shepherds, whose life is completely turned upside down by a supernatural encounter with the living God. I wonder what the local equivalent would be for us today. Maybe a group of builders on a building site or something like that, and the angel of the Lord appears to them and it completely changes everything for them. We could talk about how they heard this message. They knew there was something that they didn't fully understand. They'd had something of an encounter, but then they went and they discovered it for themselves. And how important it is for us, if we've encountered God in some way, if we've had some level of revelation of who he is, or we've met people who've had lives changed by him, that we should go and we should search out for ourselves and go and discover who he is. I could talk about how their response to finding Jesus is worship and glorifying him. And that we, as people who have encountered Jesus, should be a people of worship, as we carry that sense of wonder and glory and honor of the Lord Jesus. They went back to their homes praising him, full of worship. And that is part of our call, part of our privilege as followers of Jesus, that we get to live lives where we are just in awe of what we've seen and what we've heard, just like the shepherds. But all those points are going to have to wait for another day, because I'm just going to focus on my one point. Point number one of my one-point sermon: I will bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Just let that land for a moment. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. And now, with your permission, we're going to have Dave's Christmas quiz. We're not competing against each other as such. We're all involved. This is a community exercise. Can we spur one another on towards victory in Dave's Christmas quiz? There's no prizes, I'm afraid, so in that sense, it's not a very good quiz. But just run with me, and I'm fully committed now, so stay with me. Now, I need to whisper this bit quietly because it's not a universally held position, but I don't really like pantomimes, okay? So I know. That's how you lose the room, isn't it? Yeah, there we go. Yeah, we should have got some smoke to come out at the background or something there, but there we are. We were already busy with other stuff. So I don't want this to feel like a pantomime, but I do want us to, you know, shout out the answers together. You can speak them out, or if you're feeling really brave, I want you to shout them out. So the first question in Dave's Christmas quiz is this, and there's no counting you in. I just want you to look. There's no buzzers. I just want you to launch in with the correct answer. Question one, what kind of news is this? I can't hear you. No, I'm joking. I won't make you do it again, although I am looking for a little bit more volume on question two. Now you're feeling a bit more comfortable. What will it cause? Joy. Question three, and even the final question of my Christmas quiz. Who is it for?
All the people.
If you'd bear with me just a few moments longer, could we all raise our hands? Please, could we all raise our hands? Now, I'd like you to put your hand down if in any way you are excluded by the phrase all of the people. All of the people. I know many people in this room, I don't know some of you, but I can guarantee that you are in mind when that verse says all of the people. You can put your arms down now. I can see some are wavering, some are tiring now. I think a couple at the back broke into YMCA, so I thought we'll just, and I'm not going to mention any names because that'll be embarrassing for Simon, so there we go. All of the people. So this good news of that will cause great joy, it's for people who don't have a relationship with God yet. The shepherds didn't know him yet. They had to go on that journey. It will cause great joy. Going on a journey with great joy waiting for you at the end of it. This is good news of great joy for the whole world, actually. The whole world around us. Don't we live in a world that is in need of some good news that will cause great joy? And it will be for all the people, not a certain type of people, not us and not them, but all the people. Watch the news and think good news of great joy for all of the people I'm looking at, whatever their circumstances, whatever the side of whatever fence they're on, those people, good news for them. Later on, the disciple John summed it up like this in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Through this child, through this baby in the manger, humanity receives hope of the forgiveness of sin. Humanity receives the hope of resurrection. Humanity receives the hope and the foundation of faith of eternal life. Good news that will bring great joy. And it really is for everybody, young or old, no matter what's happened in life up until this point, no matter what our social background is, no matter what race or tribe we belong to, or none of those, all those things pale into insignificance to the call from God that comes through the Lord Jesus that we celebrate as we consider the baby in a manger. For God so loved the world that whoever, the doors are wide open for people to come and to discover and to follow in the footsteps of those shepherds in those early days. This is good news for me, and it's good news for you too. And so we're going to come into land pretty quickly now, because I've just done my one point, and there we are. I think you'll remember it. But I just want to finish with a couple of suggestions, maybe even go as far as provocations towards whoever you are and however you find yourself this morning. If you're on a journey of faith and you're not 100% sure what you believe, but you're still considering it, can I really encourage you to follow in the footsteps of those shepherds who heard something and then they went to find out for themselves? And when they went to find out for themselves, that's when they encountered Jesus and it brought them great joy. They went from working out in the fields to be back in their local community worshiping because they'd had an amazing encounter. And there's a couple of things that you can do that we'd like to offer you to help with that. The first of those is this Why Jesus booklet, which you'll find on the welcome desk as you leave. We'd love to give you a free copy of this because this is a really straightforward explanation of the Christian faith. And over this Christmas period, there's nothing better than that we can offer you. We'd love you to join us for carols. We'd love you to stay for refreshments at the end of this service. We'd love you to feel part of a welcoming, diverse community of people. But ultimately, we want you to know and to hear the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's the best thing that we've got. In fact, that's all we've got. And everything else comes out of that. That's like the foundation that the rest bubbles out from. And the second thing is that in the new year, we've got a Christianity Explored course starting, which week on week we'll go through. It'll open the account of Jesus's life and week on week explain things about him and how that impacts you. And different people from the church will be here. They'll be sharing their story of faith and an opportunity for you to ask questions. And I think it's really interesting that these shepherds, they do go on a journey. They don't send the baby to them, they have to go and follow that call that they've had to go and to be obedient to that and to go and to discover him. And so I'd really encourage you, if you feel something this morning, if over the last few weeks and months you felt something and you think, I want to know more, then I'd really encourage you. Those are two ways that we can offer you the chance to go on that journey towards discovering Jesus. And if you're someone who has already discovered Jesus and you call yourself a follower of him, I want to give you two encouragements and provocations for this Christmas season. The first is this: the response of the shepherds to the baby on that first day was one of worship and glory and praise. And over the next couple of weeks, there's going to be all sorts of things going on. There's all kinds of presents to wrap and travels to be made and relatives to see and all those kind of things. And I want to encourage myself and I want to encourage to you that day by day, and also when we come together, that we keep worship and praise and giving glory to Jesus right at the center of all that we do while we enjoy all of the other stuff to its fullness. It's a both and. Let's remember Christ in the midst of all the brilliant stuff that's going on. And then my final point is this, and it's to do with a confidence. It's to do with a foundation of faith. It's to do with what's happened on the inside of our hearts. As a follower of Jesus, what's inside you, the testimony, the explanation of his work in your life is good news that will cause great joy, and it is for all of the people. And we live in a world, we live in a society where there's lots of people who disagree with that. There's a lot of people who don't think that's true. And some of those are willing to tell us. And in the workplaces and in our families, and I totally recognize that. I experience the same all of the time. But the confidence that we have isn't in the fact that we can explain everything eloquently. It's not in the fact that we have an answer to every question. But it's the fact that the work of the Lord Jesus in our hearts is good news that will cause great joy and is for all the people, even the people who currently think we're bonkers, it's still good news for them. People disagreeing with it doesn't make it any less true. And so I want to encourage you to have what I describe as a quiet confidence, a sureness in your spirit this Christmas time, as we meet people who really don't share what we do, that we have an opportunity to reflect the love and light of Christ to those people, but with an inner confidence that recognizes that no matter what they're saying, this is good news for them that could bring them great joy. And we have an opportunity to open our hearts to those people and be part of telling the story of the baby. I'd love us to pray. I'd love us to invite the musicians forward, because having encouraged us confidently to retain an attitude of worship, I think that is where we should land this morning. So if the band could come forward, and I'm going to pray. Maybe at this point, those of us who are able could stand together. Father, I want to thank you that there's so much for us to celebrate this morning. I want to thank you for the gift it is in the life of this Christian community to have all these children full of exuberance and celebration. Lord, for each and every person here who knows you, I want to pray, Lord, for a deep assurance of faith that the deposit in our hearts from you is good news that will cause great joy. And it's for all the people that we meet. And would you help us in our own way through the positions and the situations you've given us? Would you help us to be a light this Christmas time? And if any person here, Lord, hasn't had the privilege of discovering you and finding that great joy in their hearts for themselves, I want to pray, would you give them a clear way forward, that this Christmas time could be the one where they really discover who you are, what you've done, and how we're able to turn from the old and enter the new because of what the Lord Jesus has done. Amen.